Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Linda Binns, and we're going to help you go from stuck to unstoppable. Linda has been helping people connect with the best in themselves, access their higher potential, and live their best life for more than 20 years. She works with people who are experiencing change and transition, those who are frustrated with where they're at, or when life feels like a constant struggle and they are searching for those essential techniques for freeing their energy, clarifying focus, and incorporating inner awareness, acceptance, and peace. Linda also specializes in working with those who are empathic and highly sensitive, people who have struggled most of their lives to fit in and be acceptable because they feel different. For more information, you can visit her website, which is www.lindabinns.com, and it's LindaBinns.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So now I'd like to welcome Linda to the show. Good day, Linda.
Good day, Robert. It's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to helping our listeners become unstoppable.
<laughs> <So that's laughs> yes, me too.
There we go. So before we start, I usually like to have my guests give just a little bit of a background, you know, about their journey to date. So, you know, just if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners just a little bit about your past experience and kind of what got you to where you are right now.
Okay. Well, I always say I was raised not to succeed. From one part of my family, I was never good enough. And from the other part of my family, it was, well, why bother? Because, you know, you'll only just be disappointed and you won't achieve anything anyway. So I really had no concept of the fact that I could have any goals or dreams or ideas of anything that I wanted to do. I just kind of went along with the flow. And I started out in corporations working as a secretary. And, you know, I guess the first inkling that I had that there may be more to me and for me was that wherever I worked, people always responded so well to me. They always told me I did a great job. I got promoted. My bosses were always giving me, you know, more and more responsibility and promotions. And as time went on, I started to think, well, perhaps, you know, they can't all be wrong. Maybe they are seeing something in me that I don't see in myself. And so I think that was probably the beginning of my journey to looking at myself in a different way and starting to think there may be more to me than I had realized. And eventually I started learning about energy. My first introduction to that was actually through holistic health and through feng shui, which is the energy of the environment. So I started becoming very familiar with energy, and I became so excited about what I learned and the results that I had been experiencing for myself that I realized that this was something I needed to do, I needed to share with people. And so I decided I was going to start a business doing this. This is about 20 years ago, and I had no idea of what it took to run a business. I just kind of jumped in and figured things out as I went along. And, you know, I always say that if you want to learn more about yourself, you certainly will do so by running your own business, because any insecurities you have will come up because you're, you know, you have to promote yourself, you have to sell yourself, you have to be out there in front of people. And so it's I really, I guess through that, really forced myself to intensely embark on this journey of self-awareness and self-discovery. As I was learning about myself, I was, you know, I knew how to help other people, I guess, was the thing. I knew how to help other people, but really helping myself and learning about myself was a whole other thing. So it's been quite the journey, and I've learned so much about myself. But I am so, so different from that person that I was back then, you know, going from zero confidence to now, you know, being able to do things like this. I never used to be able to talk to groups of people, and I was really terrified of anything like that, but I, you know, it's something I do regularly now. So it's really amazing what you can achieve when you really figure out who you are and what you're capable of. And that's not just me, that's everybody. It's true of everybody.
Yeah, I agree. And like you, I had very much the same evaluation placed on me when I was growing up, as far as, you know, what you're going to accomplish. Well, you know, I mean, it was what you're not going to accomplish. And, you know, so,
right.
I mean, it was, and, you know, and it's interesting because it, in one hand, it kind of just slaps you down, you know, as far as the ego's mm-hmm. like, what, you know, and then on the other hand too, you know, there are times that I use that as a catapult to, you know, to let me show you exactly what I'm capable
yes.
of, you know.
Well,
so
yes.
I mean,
and that also can create its own problems, as it did for me, because I was so focused on, well, I'm going to prove everybody wrong, you know, I'm going to show them there's more to me. And that can get into a, you can get into a trap with that too.
Yes,
but,
yes, it can. Yes, it can.
Yes.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
So now, you focus a lot on helping people who have kind of hit a wall or were stuck. Is that why is it that you kind of fixed on that particular aspect? I'm sure you do other work as well, but you know, why the focus do you feel is important to focus on that particular aspect of the human experience?
That's a great question, and I don't know that I ever consciously decided that's what I'm going to do. It just evolved into that. That people
mm-hmm.
came to
mm-hmm.
me when they were stuck, and I was able to help them. So I think those were the people I attracted. That was the work I was doing, and I just, you know, got so excited with them as they saw the results. And I probably also because, you know, at various times in my life I have felt very stuck as well. And so I really learned what it is that you need to do to get unstuck. And when I say what you need to do, it's not, you know, everybody wants a set formula. You know, give me the blueprint, tell me the steps to take.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about, okay, if you do this, this, and this, everything will be fine. You know, it really, it's such an individual thing because we all have a different journey. We all are in a different place, and we all got there in a different way. And so it really is, I guess what I do, you could say, is I show people how to access their own blueprint, how to figure it out what it is that they need to do. You know, people say, and I used to get frustrated when I heard this because people would say, well, the answers are all inside you. And I used to think, okay, yes, I understand that, but can somebody please tell me how to get them out? And I guess you could say that's what I do, is I help people get those answers out.
Yeah, you know, and I understand that, you know, the idea of, you know, the answers are within you, and, you know, and the frustration it can be. But you're right that it, you know, can be a real challenge to access those, you know, to those answers. And, you know, it's I'm happy to hear, you know, that you let people know that it's a very individual approach, you know, because there really is no one size fits all. So And by the way, I do want to invite listeners, if you'd like to call in and ask Linda any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to post them. And we have one caller in the queue, and we'll take his call in a minute. But let's, first of all, I do want to, for people who are out there who, you know, wouldn't even know where to begin to start, where do you tell your clients, what do you tell your clients to start when they just can't see anything but an obstacle in front of them?
Well, first of all, you have to identify the real problem because the problem is never what you think it is. I want to share a quick example with you, if I could, because I think it'll show you what I'm talking about. So I was contacted fairly recently by a lady who was hoping I could help her. She'd been in business for about a year, and she was hoping I could help her to get motivated and to help her organize her time more effectively. That's what she thought her problem was, because she said she knew what she needed to do to grow her business, and she wasn't doing it. She was procrastinating. She was in a state of avoidance, and she was getting very frustrated with herself. Now, as I talked to this lady and I was asking her questions about herself and what's important to her and why she really started the business, one of the things that became clear was that she had several children and many grandchildren. And the reason she had started her business was to be able to spend more time with her grandchildren. That's really what she wanted to do, so she could work from home, spend more time with her grandchildren. But the way she was trying to grow her business was actually going to accomplish the opposite of that. It was going to take her more away from being able to spend time with them, and it was going to take up more of her time and move her in a different direction. And so I think, you know, subconsciously, it's no wonder she was really in avoidance, because really she knew on a deeper level what it would mean. It was going to take her away from them. So then the question became, okay, the problem is not poor time management and poor motivation. The issue is, how do I build my business in a way that will give me more time to spend with my grandchildren, give me the income that I need to be able to do that? And that's a whole different question from how do I organize my time more effectively so that I can do all these things. Do you see?
Oh, yeah, that's a great example, and that would definitely identify why it was that she was procrastinating, because she knew it was going against what her real desire was from the initial start. Yeah. Okay, well, you know what? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so identifying the real problem and really looking inside yourself to figure out what that is, because you can do all the work in the world, but if you're focusing on the wrong thing, nothing's going to change.
Yeah, very much. Okay. Well, you know, I want to just quickly take Tim's call from New York. He's been waiting for a while, so and then we can continue on with our discussion. Okay. Hello, Tim.
Yep. Hey.
Hey, do you have a question there for Linda, Tim?
Sure, yes. So I'm trying to do the self-work on myself. I know that my avoidance per se with moving on with my job/career is not knowing exactly where to turn as far as a new job or a new career path or even just a new job. A little bit of insecurity per se about not having a degree and things of that nature. So I've been trying to move past all the negative chatter that runs during my mind on a daily basis and stay positive, do some grounding meditations, things of that nature. I was just wondering if you had any tips for me. When you spoke of being stuck, I've been viewing myself kind of stuck in this job that I don't like, that it pays bills, things of that nature. So I've been viewing myself as stuck, but I'm trying to not view myself as stuck per se, because I know it's just kind of like a cycle of me staying in a ramp, running on the Ferris wheel, going nowhere per se. So I'm just wondering if you have any advice for me.
Yes, Tim. Thanks for asking the question, first of all. So if I understand this correctly, you do have a job right now, but it's not a job you enjoy and you want to find something else. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. So do you have a clear idea about what it is that you want to do?
Not really.
No.
That's kind of kept me not looking for one per se, not sure where. So I know I have to come up with an idea per se and try to put something into action.
And what is
but like
the...
you said, I've been told, hey, the answers are always inside you, but yes, exactly how you find them.
Yeah, that's right. So what is the conversation typically? You said you're focusing on overcoming the negative chatter and focusing on trying to be positive. What kind of negative chatter is it that's coming up? What sort of things are going around in your mind?
Mostly it's just, okay, all these jobs, your degree per se. Most of my friends my age, they well set me a career, so I'm just kind of like trying to figure it out. So it's a little bit of insecurity of not accomplishing things, financial stability and things of that nature. So usually it's just like, I need a job, but what exactly am I doing? I don't know. Okay, let me just keep going to work, which I detest this job. But, hey, I'm thankful to be employed. So that's usually what's running through my mind.
Okay. All right. So you don't have a clear idea what it is you want to do. Are you very clear on what you know you don't want to do?
Yes. Yes, I
okay.
am.
That's a great starting point. I would start there, and I would start to make a list of, okay, these are the things I know I do not want to do. So it could be I don't want a long commute, I don't want to work with these type of people, or I don't want to do this kind of work. Whatever comes to you, if you spend some time making a good list of the things you know you don't want. And then when you look at that, you can ask yourself, okay, if I know I don't want this, what do I want? So, for example, and try to come up with, you know, the opposite side to whatever it is. So if I know I don't want a long commute, I'd love to work from home, or I'd love to work somewhere very local or somewhere I could walk to work or whatever that might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe writing a list of the kinds of people you'd like to work with. Then I would start with making a list of what do you really enjoy? And don't think of it in terms of, well, I don't know if there's a job out there that includes all these aspects of what I'm good at. Right? Think of it in terms of just anything that comes to you. What am I good at and what do I enjoy? Right? And make a list of those things. And then...
Okay.
I would start to put the questions in my mind along the lines of, okay, these are the things I know I don't want. These are the things I know I do want. These are the things I know I'm good at and that I enjoy. What if there was a job out there that was a perfect fit for me that included all these things that I'm good at and that I want? What if it was easy to find that kind of job? What if I didn't have to find it, but if it found me? Do you see where we're going with this? What we're doing is we're kind of challenging your thinking and putting in, we're not trying to fix it, and we're not trying to find the job. We're trying to put you in a state, a vibrational state, where you will start to attract the people and the situations and the resources that allow the job to come to you, to find you. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. This is a starting point. Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, so
okay.
Then you're not beating yourself up for being where you are or being feeling stuck where you are. You're actually taking some action. And you know, these lists that you make, you can continue to add to them as you think of new things. But the point is to continue to put in your mind the possibility that there's something out there that's perfect for you, and it doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense to anybody else, and it doesn't matter if you don't know what that might look like, but you're opening up the possibility for it to come to you.
Okay, I can do that. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, I've been trying to put
Good.
That self into the vibration of just thinking like, okay, the right place, the right time, or here's something or something that will lead me to where I need to go to change my situation. So that does make perfect sense. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Good. You're very welcome.
Well, you know, and Tim, just for my two cents, a couple of, you know, when you talked about, I mean, because I've had experience with this, you know, when you talk about the chatter about, your peers in a way, you know, those people who have already established in their jobs or people who have degrees or, you know, or people whose lives are, seem to be, you know, kind of on track, you know, just recognize that, you know, for if someone has a degree, you know, that not having a degree can be an asset too. You know, sometimes having a degree, you know, limits, you know, sometimes there are a lot of employers out there who will reject someone for a job because they're, quote, overqualified, you know. So, I mean, so just recognize that that's the case. You know, people who are set in their, you know, their life path, recognize that that's good for them. But for you, not being set gives you a whole range of opportunity that they don't have right now, you know. So count your blessings that you have that, you know, that you're like, hey, I'm quite fine there. So anyway, just, you know, to kind of keep that in mind, that that's, you know, whenever that insecurity pops in, just switch it around. It's like, hey, you know, there's a good part to this, you know.
Gotcha. Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling, Tim.
You got it.
Okay. All right. Well, and that, I love that, you know, Linda, when it comes time to identifying what it is we want, we do spend so much time recognizing what we don't want, you know, that, you know, and I don't think a whole lot of people really focus on what I do, or it's sometimes harder to identify what I really want, because if you're experiencing so many things you don't, then that's foremost.
It is a struggle. It's a struggle for many people to identify what they want, and they get very bogged down in, but I should know what I want, and I don't know what it is yet. And then they keep trying to figure it out, But if you know what you don't want, use the contrast. Okay, that's a good starting point. This is what I know I don't want. Oh, okay, I know I don't want that. So if I don't want that, then I do want this. And it can just help to lead you in that direction. And, you know, your point was so important about qualifications. You know, we have to stop comparing ourselves to other people, because if you compare yourselves to others, you know, they have degrees or they know, they've always known what they wanted to do, then we will definitely keep ourselves stuck.
Yeah, exactly. So what obstacles do you find that people experience most when they want to move from a period of being stuck to forward movement?
Well, interestingly enough, I think people have a really hard time letting go of working hard or trying to make things happen, you know, because that's what the conditioning is, right? You know, so as we were talking to Tim there, it wasn't, okay, you've got to go and figure it out, you've got to beat the pavement and find the job and, you know, read all these books. And it wasn't hard work, more it's a sense of kind of pulling back and allowing it to be easier. And this was actually quite a shock to me when I realized this, because I was one of those people who always felt I had to be working hard, and if I wasn't working hard, then that wasn't right. And I now know that I work far less and accomplish far more than I ever used to. So letting go of that idea that you have to work harder or try to make things happen is often very difficult for people. And also, interestingly enough, fear is another thing that gets in people's way, because as things do get easier and they start to flow and people start to see that they, you know what, I really can achieve what I want and it's easier than I thought, often people get a little bit scared with that. And so then it's like they put the brakes on, you know. So it's interesting that can be an obstacle as well.
Yeah, people are sometimes so used to struggle and opposition that when things flow right, it's like, oh, when's the next shoe going to drop? You know, or when's it going to stop? Because that wasn't their experience.
Well, it's like in your mind you're thinking, wait a minute, it can't be this easy. You know, I can't, things can't go this well. This isn't what happens, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and the idea of, you know, allowing things to unfold, or just the idea of having to work harder. I mean, you know, that a lot of people have grown up with conditioning, you know, that it's, you know, if you're not working hard, or if you're not constantly busy, then you're not productive, and you're,
yeah,
you know, you're wasting time. And I mean, there are just so many values and judgments placed on the idea of being busy constantly, you know, as opposed,
yeah,
to stepping back or being quiet, or, you know, I mean, I know when I, a couple years ago when I wrote my first book, I started walking every morning, and it got to the point where there were some days my to-do list was huge, and, you know, and it's like, I don't really have time to walk, and, you know, but it came to the point where I was so used to that morning quiet time, you know, and balanced time, that, you know, and then when I recognized that my day was much more productive after doing that, right, rather than being all frenzied and harried and, you,
yes,
know, waking up and, you know, starting my to-do list before I even had breakfast, you know, it's like, you know, wait a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, let me be clear. It's not about, I'm not saying you don't take action and just sit back and wait for everything to come to you.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
It's about taking right action. It's not just about being busy for the sake of being busy. You know, it's about slowing down so that you're doing the right things, and therefore you're doing them more efficiently and more effectively. And your example, you know, by going for a walk, when you get into that routine, you go for the walk, you are setting up your energy so that you are in a better state when you come to tackle your to-do list. And because of that, things flow much more easily, and you're able to get things done more efficiently and more effectively than if you hadn't gone for the walk.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're about halfway through the show already, Linda, so I want to take a quick break. And again, I do invite listeners, if you have any questions, feel free to call in 619-789-4359. And those listening in the chat room, feel free to type in your questions there. And then when we come back, Linda, you know, if you wouldn't mind sharing a couple of your worst, or maybe the most intensive stuck stories that you have, you know, with people with whom you have worked in the transformation, because,
mm-hmm,
I think that'll give the listeners a good idea of just how different things can be.
Okay, good.
Okay, great. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest is Linda Binns, and we're talking about going from stuck to unstoppable. You can find out more about Linda by visiting her website, which is www.lindabenz.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Linda back. Okay, Linda.
Thank you, Robert.
All righty. So, yeah, if you wouldn't mind sharing maybe just a couple stories of, you know, maybe some of the most intensive, you know, kinds of examples that you've used, that you've worked with, people going from stuck to unstoppable.
Certainly. Well, I would say by far the most challenging was someone who had, she had lost her job and she had been unemployed for about a year, and she was the primary wage earner in the family. Now, they had two mortgages on their house and they had substantial credit card debt, and she was about to lose her home to foreclosure. That she'd had a letter from the bank saying with a date of foreclosure, and so she's facing bankruptcy. Now, it really doesn't get much worse than that. So after working together for 6 months, now keep in mind, I couldn't tell her how to save her house, or I didn't know if she could save her house. I couldn't help her get her job, and I didn't know if she was going to have to go through it with the bankruptcy or not. So we focused initially on, okay, this is the situation. Let's face it squarely, and let's identify what you're going to do. Worst case scenario. So, if and when they take your house, where are you going to go? Now, this was something she hadn't wanted to think about, because you know you don't want to think about it. She'd been trying to do everything she knew to resolve the situation. So, you know, she came up with a plan of where she would go if they took the house. And then we talked about the bankruptcy. Okay, what are all the steps you need to take there, and make sure you know exactly how to do that if that's what we need to do. So we worked together for 6 months, and what we focused on was identifying the beliefs and conditioning she had that created the situation for her. And then we began to change those beliefs and that conditioning. And interestingly, and this is, as far as I'm aware, I've never heard of this happening before, but out of the blue, she received a letter from the bank. She tried to refinance the two mortgages on her home before, and they'd refused, and then sent the letter of foreclosure. But they then sent her a letter agreeing to refinance the two mortgages. So it ended up that she didn't lose her home. She actually found a great job, earning more money than she'd had before, and she ended up not having to file for bankruptcy. And I think best of all, her relationship with her husband improved dramatically, because whereas before they weren't able to have a conversation about money because each of them resented the other when it came to that topic,
right,
now they're able to work together to set and achieve their financial goals. So it really was a complete turnaround. But you know, I could not have predicted that would have happened. We were preparing for worst case scenario. I was only focused on really the self-awareness part. Let's look inside and see what it is you need to change about yourself and what you need to learn from this situation that you've created in your life. And that was the best result we could possibly have asked for.
And it's great, you know, that happened that way. Now, do you think that the confronting the possibilities or recognizing, what might happen, coming up with alternatives, do you feel that may have been created an internal shift for her that may have kind of allowed the other things to happen? Because, you know, there's that one saying, what you resist persists, you know, and it sounds like, you know, she was no longer resisting even looking at that possibility.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Robert. What you resist does persist. The more you resist it, the more you will stay stuck in it. And what is the other phrase? I think it's Dr. Phil that says you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So whenever it's in the back of your mind and you're frantically trying to resolve a situation externally, you know, and you don't want to think about the possibility of it happening, even though it's all falling apart around you, if you just stop and say, okay, this is what is happening. If the worst case scenario happens, what am I going to do? Because once you know that, it takes some pressure off as well. So you're not, you know, if it does all happen that way, then you have a plan. Of course, it's not what you want, right? But you'll be okay.
Right.
So that does take some pressure off. It removes some of that resistance. And that does free you up then to be able to start doing some of the other work, because you're not in so much resistance. It just frees you up, and you're able to start doing the other things that you need to do then.
Yeah, that's a good one. And she was very fortunate to have a bank come back like that, you know, and offer that. So now, do you have another example?
I do. So there was a person I worked with who was a graphic designer, and she'd worked in the corporate world all of her life. And she had two young children, and her husband worked from home. And so she thought she would like to start her own business so that she could work from home, be with her husband more, be with her children more. So she left work and started doing her graphic design business from home. Thinking that it would give her more money and certainly more time. And what she found was the opposite was true. So she was earning less money and she was working far more hours. And so when we looked at that, you know, it's very different when you're working for somebody to mm-hmm. when you're starting your own, you know, you're working for yourself. Because then, as I mentioned in the beginning, you're selling yourself. And that's a very difficult thing for people to do very often. And so any insecurities you have will come up, and you start to question your value and your worth, and you can be afraid to ask for too much. And so what she was doing was she was just trying to get business at any cost, right? What I need is customers. And so if I need customers, then I have to price my services very low, because I need business, I need customers, so that my business can survive. But in doing that, she'd set up a trap for herself, right? So she was attracting all these very difficult clients who wanted all kinds of work done, and lots of revisions, and she was just working all kinds of hours for not very much money. So what we did was we looked at that, and I reminded her, I said, you know, think of why you started your business. You wanted more time with your children, right? That was the primary reason for doing it. And so you need to be able to make enough money in your business to give you that time so that you don't have to work so many hours. So it's more about the quality of your customers as opposed to the quantity of your customers. So then we started looking at, And of course, this all comes from what you have to look at is the belief that I have to have lots of customers who don't pay very much, otherwise nobody will want to work for me. So that's a value issue. So we had to look at that. So ultimately, we focused on the work that she loved to do the most and who her favorite customers were. And we started to design kind of a customer profile and said, okay, these are the people that you like working with. This is the value that you offer. So let's increase your prices and only focus on finding those customers who you like working with and who are willing to pay you. And very quickly, I mean, it was almost immediate. It was people started calling her who were the exact right people. And this is an example of one of those things where I said fear can get in your way, because it was so immediate and so it worked so well that she got a bit afraid because it was happening so well. So then she was putting the brakes on a little bit, but we worked on that because, again, it's all about your sense of value and worth as a person. And so we worked on that. And so then we were able to change things so that she was making the money she needed and had the amount of time that she wanted to spend with her family.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it seems that one of the key aspects to creating the right environment is clarity of what you want, you know, what your purpose is, what you like, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then also kind of communicating, you know, what that is, you know, and believing that that's the case.
Yes, you have to know what you want. You really do. That has to be the first thing, because how can you accomplish what you want if you don't really know what it is? I mean, what happens then is we keep attracting things and situations we don't want, and we know we don't want it, but that's going to keep happening until you really know what you do want, and then you have to put your energy into what you do want,
right,
not into what you don't.
And, you know, the idea of, you know, attract to you who is right and proper. Like, for example, you said that, you know, when I first started the interview and asking kind of why you picked, you know, the unstoppable aspect, when you indicated that people kind of came to you, you know, that kind of, it's not, you didn't choose that, that chose you,
right.
You know,
right.
And, you know, but then, you know, you said that was, you have experience with that. So, I mean, it was like one of those cases where, you know, so it seems that, you know, if you get clear about what it is you want, you know, clear the kind of people with whom you want to work, then your attention and your awareness is keyed into that, so that, you know, it seems then, you know, people who don't fit that profile don't register as being good candidates, you know.
Exactly.
Whereas, you know, those who are good candidates, you know, your ears will pop up, or, you know, or something will happen. Maybe you'll respond a little bit quicker to that individual, recognizing that they are the kind of, you know, client that you want.
That's right. And it also works the other way around. So as I'm talking here today, there will be some listeners who resonate with what I'm saying and will say, oh, my gosh, yes, that makes total sense. I completely get that. And there may be other people listening thinking, well, no, I don't really see that. And that's
right,
fine.
Exactly. Right. Exactly right. Okay, so now one key component with the idea of going from stuck to unstoppable, and a lot of the work that you've talked about in those examples involve change. So change in beliefs, change in actions. So what would you say to the listeners is maybe one important rule about change for listeners to remember?
Well, I think it's that you can change anything if you change yourself. So when you change your energy, how you feel, what you're thinking, what your beliefs are, you absolutely will change what and who you attract into your life. So it really is all about you. You know, it's not about trying to change the situation or trying to change other people. When you focus on changing yourself, and this is why it's important to know what it is that you want, right? Because when you know what you want and then you change yourself, then you can move in the direction that you really want to go. Things just start opening up for you if you focus on changing yourself.
Okay. Well, that's where it begins. So
yes.
That is for sure. Very much. Now, one of the things, you know, when you were talking about, you know, the individual that worked from home, you know, and one of the things that, you know, when I tell people that I work from home and, you know, that I got this internet show and, you know, do consulting at home, and they're like, oh, wow, that's the coolest thing, you know. You know, you're just so lucky. It's like, well, yes and no. Yes, like, you know, I can work anywhere, and unfortunately, since I work from home, I'm at work 24 hours a day, you know. What do you tell people who, you know, when it comes time to try and get this work non-work balance. I mean, you know, because it's really important to have balance between the two. And I know that's something I struggle with. But what would you say to people out there who have that challenge?
Well, I think, you know, work-life balance is, it's one of those phrases we, you know, we hear a lot about. Again, it's a very individual thing because, you know, what does that look like for you? What does that look like for me or anybody else? So, again, it comes back to knowing what you want, knowing what's important to you. So, for example, I like to play tennis, and I used to, before I knew better, you know, if an opportunity came up to play tennis during the week or during the daytime, you know, I would very often turn it down because, no, I had to be working, you know. But now I would rather plan my work around my tennis, you know, because
right.
That's something that's important to me. And just like you said, you know, it's important to you to go for a walk first thing in the morning. You know, that helps you to achieve more of a work-life balance. Now, working from home, you're right. The opportunity is there all the time to be doing things. So you have to be able to set boundaries for yourself that, you know, do you want to be working 8 hours in the day? Do you want to be working 10 hours a day? Or would you prefer to be working 4 hours and then have time off? Do you want to, you know, how do you want to structure your day? And then that's what work-life balance is for you, right? And it doesn't have to look like what it does for anybody else. So it's knowing what you want and knowing what it means for you and then making sure you make time for everything that is important for you.
Yeah. I for me, I found that it's quite often I do throughout the day, you know, set aside time. It's like, okay, you know, no cell phone, no work. This is, you know, personal time, you know, for whatever that is,
okay.
You know, and doing that, even if it's just chores or, you know, or just, you know,
right.
Something around the house, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, because it could easily get out of balance. And I know, you know, for me, when I just get, you know, overwhelmed with just constantly wanting to work, that, you know, besides, you know, the neglect of what really needs to be taken care of, there's also an emotional drain that just doesn't work. So I really try to schedule my time, you know, separately, just to make it formal, and so that I don't get, you know, carried away either way, with you know, the work or the non-work.
Well, and when you love what you do, it you can get
mm-hmm.
carried away and end up actually
yeah.
working more than you want. But I also think, you know, there will be times, perhaps when you're working on a project, like writing a book, you know, you might be writing a book or you might be doing a particular project that takes more of your time right now, but it's important to you, so you want to be doing that. You know, so you might take more time doing that now, but make sure that you allow yourself time after that project ends to regenerate, regroup, and, you know,
right.
just get yourself back into balance again.
Exactly, yes, because it does vary, you know, the
it does.
The time. So now, speaking of kind of overwhelmed, you know, in today's environment, it's so easy for people to be overwhelmed with work, with life. You know, we've got we're just bombarded constantly with
yeah.
all kinds of stuff. You know, so what do you have any tips for people who might have that sense of being overwhelmed, or there's just too much happening, and what to do when that happens?
Yes, and it comes back again to the clearer you are about what you want and what's important to you, then the easier it is to say no to the things that don't fit with that. So knowing what you really want, knowing what's important to you is crucial. And then focus on putting your energy more into those things, more into the things that you enjoy doing, more into the things that you want as opposed to the things you don't want. And try to eliminate as much as possible things that just drain your energy or don't feel good. You know, whatever you can let go of, do so and put your more of your energy into what you do enjoy doing. And learn how to, I would say, learn how to manage your energy rather than your time. And what I mean by that is you probably have the experience of knowing that your energy is higher at certain times of the day, or it feels better to get do certain tasks at certain times of the day, that kind of thing. You know, I know that my energy is a lot more. I have more brain energy, if you like, first thing in the morning. So I'll do more of my online stuff, a lot of technical stuff, first thing in the morning, and I don't really have the brain for that as much later on during the day. Exercising for me is better late in the day or early evening. I have more energy for that later on. So learn to become familiar with your energy patterns and know, you know, when the best, know how to manage your energy really, so that you can manage that as opposed to trying to manage your time. Let's see. And then I would say just go easy on yourself and set realistic expectations, because a lot of times we get overwhelmed because our expectations for ourselves are too extreme.
Yeah. Yeah, we do that. We're our worst. We judge ourselves more harshly than anyone would usually. And when you were talking about managing emotion and activities, every once in a while I'll find myself caught up reading a thread of some discussion on Facebook that I know I shouldn't be doing, because it's only going to get me irritated. And by the time, 15 minutes later, I've read all of these little comments. It's like, what are you doing? This is just a waste of time. You're going to get angry, at people you don't even know, you really don't care about.
Right.
So, but then it's like, okay, adjustment time. But, those are the things I think that, sometimes that we can do. Once we recognize that we're doing something that really doesn't serve us well, to just shift, to stop it, to do something different.
That's right. Well, the important thing that you said there is that you recognize it, right? You recognize that you're doing this and it's how it's affecting you. And so, then you're able to, you can do something about it. It's when you start doing those things and you get sucked into it and you have no awareness of what is happening or what has happened. And then you wonder why your energy is drained now, why you feel exhausted, why you can't get anything done, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, we're kind of getting down toward the end of the show. So, is there any advice or comments that you may want to bring up to the listeners that we haven't covered when it comes with regard to just forward movement and if not avoiding, then maybe getting out of the feeling of being in a rut or being stuck?
Yeah, I would, I think one of the best things you can do when you're in a situation that you don't want to be in is to ask yourself the question, what is it this situation is teaching me about myself? What is it that I need to learn about myself from this situation so that I can move on? Because there's some reason you're there, some reason this is happening. Just like the person who was about to face foreclosure and who was in debt. She learned a lot about herself, and it's like when you learn what you need to learn, then you don't need that situation anymore. So if you just ask those questions and are willing to learn what it is you need to learn about yourself, then the situation can change. You don't need it anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. Learn from it and let it go. Move on from it.
Yes.
Well, Linda, I really appreciate your time today. It's really been great talking with you, and I'm sure that we've helped people who have been listening, and also you've given me some ideas for myself as well.
Oh, good. Well, it's been my pleasure, Robert. It's so nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Linda Binns. We've been talking about going from stuck to unstoppable. Again, you can find out more about Linda and all she offers by visiting her website, which is www.lindabinns.com. And again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BiteRadio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.